since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
It is one of the best weekends in sports. I say that every year as we hit the first Saturday in May. We typically get spoiled. We get the Kentucky Derby. We get a marquee boxing match. We get Major League Baseball. We have the NBA playoffs. It's exciting. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year. The Kentucky Derby tomorrow. Live coverage is going to begin on NBC beginning at 10 a.m. Post time is set for, I believe, 4:45. And so you have coverage all day of the running of the Kentucky Derby, which has a little bit of a different feel this year. And we will break down the field right now as we do every year. Joining us over the phone, we have Steve Bordstein. Great friend of mine. Great friend of the show. You hear Steve calling in to talk typically about football or baseball, but today, Steve, it is the Kentucky Derby, and this is what you do. I know you get amped for this this stage of the horse racing season every year.
One of the very first sporting events I ever attended as a child, and I have made it a tradition ever since. So, yeah, it's a big deal. And every year there's always compelling storylines, and every year there's always, you know, the steam horse, the now horse. Now it seems we have a couple of other different storylines. It's about a trainer that isn't here in Bob Baffert. I know we'll talk about that more in a moment. But one of the more compelling aspects of the Derby every year is that it is a race unlike any other. These horses have never gone this far. They've never raced in front of as many people. Most of these horses have never run at Churchill Downs. We may have some weather that could be a factor. So there's 100 different storylines that always seem to go into the run for the roses.
And as far as the field is concerned this year, it's very deep. And I that's always compelling as well, right? When you're pressing anywhere from 15 to 20 horses, it just adds a little bit more intrigue to the event.
It does, and I think that's the fun storyline, is that you've got a horse, a lightly raced horse that we'll talk about here in a moment, the Sansanita Derby winner, who's 12-1 on the morning line, and there's no way he's going to go off at 12-1 on the morning line. That horse is Taba. We'll talk about him, I'm sure, here in a moment. You've got that horse. You've got Todd Fletcher, who of course is a staple in the Kentucky Derby, having won two already. You've got Steve Asmussen, who's one of the Hall of Fame trainer. You've got some great jockeys, obviously. You've got a couple of international horses, so there's always a little bit of intrigue, and I think you could go, to your point about it being a deep, contentious race, I can probably make a case for about six or seven different horses legitimately, and those aren't even all the favorites, so that's what makes the race so compelling.
And you mentioned trainers, and I think this is the best place to start. We'll talk about Bob Baffert in a moment, but I want to talk about Todd Fletcher, and let's dive right into it. Mo Donegal is a horse that I really, really liked going into the Kentucky Derby. Saw what he did at the Wood Memorial. He was fantastic. I mean, this is a horse that finishes out strong. However, Mo Donegal right now is sitting at 10-1, basically because he draws gate number one. It makes it very, very difficult to navigate a clean trip from the spot. And then you add into the equation that Mo Donegal is a closer. So one of the horses I really loved going into the race, Steve, did not get the best draw, and that definitely will affect him tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to try and talk you back into that, frame of mind.
Let's do it.
I actually like Mo Donegal a lot for the very same reasons you just mentioned, the rail and the way he runs. The last time the rail won the Kentucky Derby was 1986 with a horse called Ferdinand. Now, if you go back and on YouTube, you can check this out. Ferdinand was a late running closer. Ferdinand won the race by coming in from off the pace. And what makes the one post so compelling is that he gets to save all the ground. He doesn't have to rush up early. He doesn't have to swing 13 wide from gate 14 to get close to the rail. He gets to basically just tuck back, let the pace happen in front of him, stay on the rail, stay close to the inside, save all the ground, let all the action happen in front of him, and then catch tiring horses late. So the one post actually works for Mo Donegal. And to your point about the Wood Memorial, that comes in as like one of my more highly rated prep races leading into tomorrow's Kentucky Derby. So I don't think I get that the rail post hasn't been good in recent years. But if you look at the number of horses that broke from the rail, they were speed horses who had to rush up. They were close to the pace type horses that had to be part of that early pace duel. This one doesn't. His most recent race, he was 4.5 lengths lengths off the lead at the half-mile pole, closed ground, got up just in time to beat early voting in the Wood Memorial. Don't dismiss Mo Donegal because of the rail. If you're going to dismiss Mo Donegal, my contention would be you would dismiss him because of the rider change. Look back at the past performances for Mo Donegal in the Holy Bull Stakes and the Remsen Stakes, and when he broke his maiden at Belmont Park last October. Irad Ortiz rode him. Well, Irad Ortiz is back on him again tomorrow. But in the meantime, Joel Rosario rode Mo Donegal last time out in the Wood Memorial. Well, look two horses to your right, and you'll find that Joel Rosario now is riding for Steve Asmussen aboard Epicenter. Meaning if Joel Rosario had the choice of which horse he was going to ride, Epicenter or Mo Donegal, he chose Epicenter. If Todd Pletcher had the choice, he chose Irad Ortiz. So that might be your one negative in that whole thing. I'm not smart enough to know what went into the decision-making process here, whether that was a Joel Rosario decision, whether that was a Todd Pletcher decision or an Irad Ortiz decision. But that's the one negative. That'd be the one thing you'd look at and go, eh, okay, maybe that negates both horses. I like Mo Donegal. I like him for the reasons you mentioned, the rail and the ability to come from off the pace.
Yeah, again, going into it, I really was a fan, and if you're a fringe or casual fan, you just like watching the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, I'm telling you, go watch the Wood Memorial. You'll fall in love with Mo Donegal. He's also finished in the money in all five of his starts, but let's talk now Epicenter, because this is likely the post-time favorite. When you talk about Mo Donegal finishing in the money in all five starts, Epicenter, this is the winner of four of six races, and this includes much success in Louisiana as well. I mean, tell me about Epicenter and what makes him the post favorite, and why, as you just mentioned a moment ago, Joel Rosario would choose Epicenter. I would assume it's many of the things I just mentioned.
It is the things you mentioned. The one negative, I guess, there is about Epicenter, and it's not even really a negative because you can't help where you run, you know, but the Louisiana Derby in recent years has not been a strong Kentucky Derby prep race. It hasn't produced Kentucky Derby winners in recent years. The Santa Anita Derby produces Kentucky Derby winners. The Arkansas Derby produces Kentucky Derby winners. The Florida Derby produces Kentucky Derby winners. Not the Louisiana Derby. Now, that should not off-put you from Epicenter here, because he's done nothing wrong in his last two starts. He's won four of six, as you mentioned. He actually also has a win at Churchill Downs, which is huge, because there's only a few horses in the Derby tomorrow who actually have run at and won over the Churchill Downs surface. He did that. He did that on November 13th when he broke his maiden going a mile at Churchill Downs. Now, what's the difference between Churchill Downs in November and Churchill Downs in the first Saturday in May? About 120,000 people in the grandstand. That's the big difference. So it may not have that much of an impact, but it does help his chances if you're wagering on Epicenter. He will be part of that early pace. He likes to be close to the lead. He's been close to the lead in his most recent starts. He actually came from a little bit further back last time out than he was in his prior two victories in the Risen Star and the LeCon Stakes back in January. He did lag a little bit off the early pace, but then he just absolutely powered home with an impressive final 3/8 of a mile in 36 3/5 seconds. Only one horse going into the Derby has run a faster final 3/8 than Epicenter, and that horse is your horse sitting on the rail, Mo Donegal. They're the only two that have run sub 37 seconds final 3/8 of a mile going into tomorrow's Kentucky Derby. So if you like Epicenter, you're hoping that it's not going to be too taxing a pace that he has to deal with alongside him. There will be other speed. We'll talk about Messier. You can look at Charger. There's a couple of other horses who are going to put some pressure on Epicenter early. If he can handle that early pressure and have that kick late, he's going to be a factor down the stretch.
Again, Steve Bordstein, our guest right now, as we talk about tomorrow's Kentucky Derby. Steve, you just mentioned Messier, so okay, let's talk about him, his stablemate, and the two jockeys, Mike Smith and John Velasquez. Maybe the best story going into the Kentucky Derby, at least from a competitive standpoint.
A competitive story, a fun story, but also you have the other part of that story, and that is the trainer, Tim Yachtin.
That's
Tim
right.
Yachtin is essentially Bob Baffert. Let's just put this out there right now. Bob Baffert was suspended from the Kentucky Derby because of what happened last year with Medina Spirit, who it turns out had been given an unauthorized usage of a medication, and that negated his victory in the Kentucky Derby. And now, as it turns out, there are other unwarranted, unauthorized uses of medication in other Bob Baffert horses, which puts Bob Baffert in a position where he cannot legally train horses into the Kentucky Derby. Tim Yachtin has been an assistant trainer for Bob Baffert for decades now. So when you see the name Tim Yachtin, just understand that's essentially Bob Baffert, but Bob Baffert can't put his name on it. Messier is an impressive horse who was very, very impressive back in February when he won the Robert Beverly Lewis Stakes at Santa Anita, won by 15 lengths. He got his doors blown off, however, by his stablemate, Taiba, in the Santa Anita Derby. We'll talk about Taiba here in a second. Messier's a nice horse, but he's going to be part of that pace, and I don't know whether his breeding will essentially carry him a mile and a quarter. Yes, he is by a very impressive, a Triple Crown type horse, an Empire Maker, but he hasn't bred Derby winners, Empire Maker. He breeds a lot of mile and an eighth type horses, not Messier, not mile and a quarter horse, and that could be his undoing here. Taiba, on the other hand, the stablemate, Taiba, not only do you have the impressive breeding, being by a Breeders' Cup champion and Gunrunner, Horse of the Year Gunrunner, but you also mentioned the name Mike Smith. And there is no bigger name and bigger race in the world than Mike Smith. Multiple Dubai World Cup winner, multi-Breeders' Cup Classic winner. Mike Smith is amazing. The problem with Taiba is that you have to go back 121 years to find the last horse to win the Derby with only two races going into the Derby. 121 years. So if you like Taiba, I'm not going to talk you off him because he's been absolutely lights out in his two races. But you're bucking a 120-year trend against that when you go into the Derby. How many horses have done it? 16 have tried. All 16 have failed since 1899, I think it is.
Steve Bordstein again joining us right now. Steve, a lot of storylines in the Kentucky Derby. Again, one of the best weekends when it comes to sports. As far as the Morning Post favorite, I think we've touched on just about everyone. There is one more horse, though, I want to get your thoughts on. Maybe the prettiest horse of all right now, sitting at 3-1 odds. This is Zandon. You can't miss him, right? The jet black horse, beautiful out on the track.
Yeah, no, Zandon's going to be a hard horse to knock down here because like the horse, like Mo Donegal, who's down on the inside, Zandon likes to come from off the pace. So he's going to be a factor. Flavien Prott might be the best rider in America that most people have never heard of before because he doesn't particularly ride in a lot of big stakes races. And when he does, he typically wins those races, though they're not the Derby, right? He hasn't won that race yet. So until you win the Derby, you don't really have that allure surrounding you right now. Chad Brown is one of the best trainers in America, if not all of North America. Well known for being a great turf trainer. He's one of the best conditioners of horses in America right now. His win in the Bluegrass Stakes was impressive. It came up a little bit short on numbers as far as my final 3/8 time is concerned, but the way he will run from off the pace and, you know, the fact that he got beat 3 1/4 lengths behind Epicenter, the fact that he only got beat a nose by Mo Donegal 2-3 starts back, he obviously knows how to run with these horses. The trick will be, can he get the pace scenario in front of him to get the job done here? He's the morning line favorite at 3-1. I don't know if he'll be the post-time favorite. I think you nailed it with Epicenter being the post-time favorite. Again, I think a lot of money's going to come in on Taiba as well, but I think that Zandon has to be considered a major factor, especially with that off-the-pace style of his.
All right, Steve, pressure time. I'm going to put you on the spotlight. Give it to me. 1, 2, 3. How do you bet it? Who ends up coming out on top?
I like Epicenter. I like Epicenter a lot. I think he's the horse to beat here. The pace scenario, I think, will be quick, but not lightning quick. Make sure you check the post-time weather forecast. Rain is expected to happen today at Churchill Downs. That could linger tonight as well, so that'll have a little bit of an impact on the racing tomorrow. But again, there's going to be a lot of races to really kind of gauge how that track is playing and how dry that track will get. And the track will dry out quickly. There's not going to be a ton of rain, so it will dry out quickly. They have a very good irrigation system there at Churchill Downs. Look at number 3. Epicenter is my top choice. I really do hope you don't back off too much on Mo Donegal. I think he's going to be a factor. I will also throw in the 12 Taiba. And if you really want a goofy long shot to come in the exotic wagers, number 18, Tawny Port for trainer Brad Cox and Ricardo Santana. Liked his win last time out. A little bit cheaper race, but he's 30-1 in the morning line, and I'm not going to talk you or anyone else off a horse that you want to play in the exotic to 30-1. So for me, it's going to be 3, 1, 12, and 18.
He's Steve Bortstein, always kind enough to take out the time and join us. Does phenomenal work. Steve, we always talk about where we can find your work. You got to give us the information on that before we let you go.
Absolutely. You can follow me covering a variety of sports here in the Four Corners area down in northwest New Mexico, including our live horse racing season going on right now at Sunray Park and Casino. And you can do that by following me on Twitter at DTS, that's Daily Times Sports, and then my last name, Bortstein, DTS Sports. And you can also check out our website at daily-times.com.
Steve, always a pleasure to get you on the show. Enjoy the busy weekend, and we'll catch up again real soon.
Looking forward to it, my friend. Thank you.
We're going to pause one more time. We'll come back, talk NBA basketball. Two games on tap tonight. That's coming up next when we return here on 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We are live from the Sutherland Studios. It's Drive Time Sports.